Let us pray. Creator God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the hearing of your word. And may we digest the words that your spirit offers each one of us in our own lives, what needs to be heard. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So our scripture lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, reading from the first chapter, verses 14 through 20. Again, let us listen for the word of God. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And as Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And as he went a little farther, he saw Jesus, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. May the Lord bless to our hearts and to our understanding this reading, his holy word. So, this is the word of the Lord. I'm sorry. In the name of the Creator, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Alexander Graham Bell was an amazingly talented person. He invented the telegraph, the audiometer, which is used to test your hearing, the tricycle, landing gear you find on planes, and a host of other less well-known machines. In addition to this, he was the co-founder of the prestigious magazine Science, served as president of the National Geographic Society, and spent his life working with deaf people. But the most famous of all his creations was, of course, the telephone. It also made his family and his descendants enormously wealthy. But he almost lost it all. Because, you see, Bell never seemed to get around to submitting a patent application. And finally, his father-in-law, who had financed a lot of the research, got so impatient that he filed the patent on Bell's behalf on the 14th of February, 1876, Bell's 29th birthday. And it was a good thing he did, because just a few hours later, another scientist by the name of Elijah Gray went to the patent office to get a patent on a machine that he'd been working on for many years. You guessed it, the telephone. So wouldn't you agree that some things are so important that you need to act on them now? A heavy rain had been falling as a man drove down a lonely road. And as he rounded the curve, he saw an old farmer surveying the ruins of his barn. And the driver stopped his car and asked what had happened. And the farmer said, "Roof fell in. Leaked so long it finally just rotted through." "Well, why in the world didn't you fix it before it got that bad?" said the stranger. "Well, sir," replied the farmer, "it just seemed I never did get around to it. When the weather was good, there wasn't no need for it, and when it rained, it was too wet to work on." So those of us who are homeowners know the perils of allowing home maintenance to slide. But that's true in all of life. In the things that really matter, there's a need to act with urgency. Consider our lesson for today from Mark's Gospel. Mark tells us that Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee when he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, because they were fishermen. And he says, "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." And then Mark says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now notice that he doesn't say that they pondered his invitation. He says at once they left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And again, immediately, says Mark, he called them, and they left their father in the boat with the hired men and followed him. How did these men respond to Jesus' call? At once they left their nets and followed him. Without delay, he called James and John, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, it's always amazed me that the first four disciples of Jesus has responded to his call without any seemingly hesitation. He was asking them to leave their livelihood, leave their families, leave the community they grew up in for an adventure, the result of which they could not see. And immediately they heeded his call and followed him. And that says a lot about how Jesus came across to people, does it not? But it also says much about them. And perhaps it says even more about the task that he called them to. Mark shows us a Jesus who is in a hurry, a man with a sense of urgency. Someone has noticed that Mark used one word in this gospel more than any other, and it's the word immediately, or a similar word meaning the same thing. This word is used 40 times in those brief 16 chapters of Mark's gospels. Because the last thing that Jesus wants is procrastinators. That's clear in Mark's gospel. But this is not the only place that Jesus expresses this sense of urgency. In Luke's gospel, Jesus gives the same opportunity to another man who is unknown to us, and he says, "Follow me." But this man replied, "Look, first let me go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And still another said, "Well, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first go back and say goodbye to my family." And Jesus says, "Well, not one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." And this is simply to illustrate that Jesus' call is one of urgency. This is the way life is. The really important things require us to respond without delay. Consider, for example, how urgent it is that we demonstrate our affection for those we love. Years ago, when the original Dear Abby was asked what letter was requested the most for reprinting, she put into her syndicated column this one. And it says, "Dear Abby, I am the most heartbroken person on the earth. I always found time to go everywhere else but to see my old gray-haired parents. They sat at home, loving me just the same, but now when I go to visit their graves, I wonder if God will ever forgive me for the heartaches I must have caused them." And you may be familiar with that literary giant of another generation, Samuel Johnson. There's a famous story that comes from Johnson's boyhood. Johnson's father was a bookseller, selling books from town to town during Johnson's boyhood. And once when his father was very ill, tired and worn down by his constant struggle to support his family, he asked young Samuel to go to the market at a nearby small community to take his place. And young Samuel smugly refused to do so. And his father made the arduous trip himself, never saying a word of reproach to his son. And 50 years later, the renowned and prosperous Samuel Johnson, now his name a household word throughout England, stood bareheaded for hours close by a spot in that same small community where once his father's bookstall had stood. And people stared at him as he stood there, almost motionless in the midst of wind and rain. He was remembering that time long ago when his quickly aging father asked of him a small favor, and he had smugly refused. A great theologian, a man who has inspired millions of Christians, confessed a while back that he had been an abysmal failure with his own children. And how I wish, he laments, that when my children were young, I had spent less time with my books and more time with my family. There's an urgency about love, is there not? Children grow up so quickly. Time takes its toll in the aging process. There are some persons whose love we treasure today who might not be with us tomorrow, or next week, or next year. If we're going to take time to show our love for one another, we had better do it now. There's an urgency about the really important things in life, and one of those important things is demonstrating our affection for people we love. You may know the story about the very bashful young man who was hesitant about demanding his affection for his sweetheart. And he says, "Oh, but that I were an octopus," he said one night, "that I might wrap all eight arms around you." And his patient sweetheart replied, "Don't worry about having eight arms, just make better use of the two you already have." Sometimes there's an urgency about demonstrating love. And there can sometimes be an even greater urgency about altering a lifestyle. There comes a time when a person must change his or her way of living and do it now. Newspaper headlines have brought us tragic stories of the inroads that drug abuse has made into our society. Ball players, movie stars, children of famous political families, as well as ordinary citizens by the thousands, are having their lives destroyed by this modern plague. And interestingly, now it's in rural communities of this country which seems to be most under attack. So how long does a person have to sink? How much money does he have to spend? How many people does he have to hurt before he says, "Whoa, this is it. I've got to get control of my life." There comes a time when fighting a destructive habit or a debilitating weakness, you must say, "I must stop now, or it will be too late." There's a story of a man who waited until it was too late. His name was Judas. And I wonder if Judas ever intended for Christ to die. I wonder if he ever thought it would go that far. Perhaps Jesus had said something that hurt or offended Judas. That happens sometimes in a church. Maybe Judas felt rejected by the other disciples. Perhaps it troubled him that he was not part of that small circle of disciples closest to Jesus, Peter, James, and John, who were always there on significant occasions in Jesus' life. Could it have been simple jealousy? "I'll show them," Judas may have said to himself, but it may be that he never intended for Jesus to be crucified. And so he cries out to the temple authorities as he tried to return their money, "I have betrayed innocent blood." And he says, they say, "What is that to us?" with a sneer as they turn their backs on him. And suddenly Judas realized that it was too late. And he went and hanged himself. It's an awful thing to wake up and realize it's too late. Too late to save your marriage. Too late, you're hooked. You're addicted. Too late, you've been caught. You've brought disgrace to your family and friends. Too late, you've had that tragic accident. You see that there is sometimes an urgency about changing the way you are living? Stop. For God's sake, stop. An inner voice may be saying to you this morning before it's too late. Many people put off making necessary changes to their life until tomorrow. And of course, sometimes tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow, someone has noted, Raphael would finish his painting of the Transfiguration. But he died at age 34 with a painting only half finished, and two of his disciples were forced to finish the master's work. Important things should never be put off, because life has a way of getting away from us. Or perhaps you know the story of a woman named Florence. Florence was married to a man named Oliver for 58 years before her death. They first got married in Sweden before immigrating to the United States some 30 years ago. And after his beloved wife died, Oliver saw the need to put their home in order and immediately set about it. And while doing so, he found a box, opened it, and found some dishes which before he had never seen. And he took the dishes to his eldest daughter and asked if she recognized them. And just like her father, she was surprised at seeing them. And just about then, Oliver's second daughter came in and said, "Have you seen these dishes before?" he asked. And she looked at the beautiful set of dishes decorated with colorful paintings and gold, and she too had no idea of the origin of the dishes. So as a last resort, Oliver decided to call his late wife's sister and asked her about the dishes, and luckily, she did know of the origin of the dishes. For years before her death, Florence collected these dishes piece by piece because she couldn't afford to buy a complete set. And when the collection neared completion, she kept the dishes put away in hopes of using them during a special occasion. And because no special occasion came around, she chose to lock them away in the box that Oliver had found. Think how much joy Florence could have had displaying her beloved dishes to her friends and family. But she died with the dishes still in the box. And so it is with people who are always putting things off until tomorrow, because so often tomorrow never comes. So if you love someone, tell them. If you're facing an important task, no matter how distasteful, tackle it. You're not going to enjoy doing it anymore when you can no longer put it off. And of course, procrastination with heeding the call of God is the most serious procrastination of all. And so I challenge you to find one place in the New Testament where Jesus told anybody to go home, think it over, and get back to me tomorrow. It simply doesn't happen. Jesus comes to Simon and Andrew and James and John at their fishing boats beside the sea and says to them, "Follow me." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus' invitation is always an invitation to do it now, especially is that true with the call to follow him. There was an interesting interview recently, one final story, in the AARP magazine, of all places, with the singer-songwriter John Cougar Mellencamp, best known for his 1982 rock song, Jack and Diane. And Mellencamp is now 65 years old. Time is passing. And in his interview, Mellencamp had this to say about the final ending of his life. He says, "I intend to make my ending good. I'm hoping it's one of those long, lingering deathbed conversions." A lot of people go, "I hope I just die quick," he continues, "but not me, because I need to put things right." Well, I hope that John Mellencamp gets the opportunity for that long conversion, whether he was making a joke about it or not in this interview, because life has a way of playing tricks on us. We may not have as long as we think. And think how much peace and joy John Mellencamp could have had in his life in the meantime. There are some things in life that should not be put off. Telling people we love them is one of them. Correcting a destructive lifestyle is another. But most important is saying yes to God. So won't you take that step today? Amen. Hear this truth. God is responsible ultimately for all that exists in our world.